Everybody's going to meet Jesus after they leave this life. We're going to meet him in one of two ways. As a Christian, as part of the bride of Christ, we would meet him at the very great white throne judgment as saved individuals. Or those who've never received Jesus Christ will also meet him at the end of time, at the 1,000 years is over. They'll stand before him at the great white throne judgment. So it means this to me. I'm either going to meet him at the end of my life, and you're going to meet him at the end of your life. Every person's going to meet him at the end of our lives as either Savior or Judge. On the Christians, or at least should be, the Christian's constant concern in our lives. Turn to the book of the Revelation, the last chapter, chapter 22, the last words in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to read verses 18 through verse 21. Revelation 22, verse 18 through verse 21. Share a message about the Christian's constant concern. It should be at least our concern. Revelation 22, 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now carefully note these last two verses. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now, we know that Christ in the Scriptures, if you studied at least casually, you'll know that Christ is depicted as the bridegroom, and the church, or all the saved, are pictured also as the bride. Now, since we are the bride of Christ, how would you expect Jesus' last words on this earth to conclude? Wouldn't you want to hear some words of courage? Wouldn't you want to hear some words of expectancy? Well, you find them both in these verses that I just read to us. John recalls these words as the Lord gave them to him, and John writes them down. Now listen, after these words we just read, there is no more prophecy to be given. This is the end of it all. There are no more prophecy to proclaim the mind of God to man. These words are complete. These words are the last words to our Lord Jesus' bride on this earth. And again, there are no more apostles to write down with authority from Jesus. These words are the end of Jesus' words to his bride. There are no more mandates to be given. There are no more instructions to be given from heaven to the bride. These words we just read reach to the end and all the way through into the eternity of eternities. Takes into account all times, all dispensations, all events. Only one event remains, and that is the coming of the Lord. That's what's promised right here in these verses that I read. The coming of the Lord, his presence with us in the clouds of glory, his descent from heaven, his coming again for his bride, as a bride should be, and we are adorned for our groom. We ought to be constantly concerned, shouldn't we, about his return for us? We ought to think about it often. Shouldn't we want to hear these last words to us? These last words here are written from the pen of the Apostle John through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a twofold message, I believe, that we have here in these last verses. Now, the last time you hear Jesus' voice on this earth was when these words were written. John said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. That's a voice of Jesus. These are the last words, the last time the earth will hear his audible voice until he comes again, of course. The last time on earth you'll hear it. The next time you hear his voice, he'll be coming from the clouds of glory, as John and also Paul writes a little bit later. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Paul writes in Thessalonians that when Jesus comes again, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Who's going to shout? He's going to shout. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, that's going to be the next time this earth is going to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, his words are kind of summed up here in these last verses. What are these things we need to hear? What do we need to hear here from these verses? What are these last words? Well, it involves two things. I think it involves, first of all, his promise of his return. And I think it also involves a prayer from us for his return. That's what I want to develop with us tonight. Look, first of all, with me at Jesus' own promise of his return there in verse 20. He said, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Two things about this promise I want you to see with me. First of all, it is a certainty of the promise that he is going to come again. He which testifies these things. Who's testifying these things? Jesus himself. We can believe his testimony, can't we? We can believe his witness, can't we? We can believe all the words he ever says, can't we? The Bible, you see, opens with an announcement of the coming of the Lord. In Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy of the coming of the Lord. And here in Revelation, you see the promise of his second coming of the Lord. Listen, the first time Genesis says he would be, his heel would be bruised. And in the second coming, the head of Satan would be absolutely destroyed. So you see, his second coming is absolutely, should be foremost in our concern. This is what we're going to limit our discussion on here on this passage tonight. What about this promise of his return? I said it's a certainty. How's he going to return? Well, first of all, notice this. It's going to be a literal returning of the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus said in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again." It will be a literal returning of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Even as the apostles on the mountainside in Galilee, as they watched Jesus ascend back into heaven, the angel said, "Why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going into heaven will someday come again." So it's going to be a literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ. John confirmed it. The angels confirmed it. There's folks today who do not believe in a literal return of Jesus. I'm sorry, they're wrong. Jesus testifies himself. He promises the certainty that I'm going to literally return. So it's going to be a literal return of Jesus. But it's also going to be a visible return of Jesus. I want you to listen to what Revelation chapter 1. Look over there if you will. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 7. Listen to what it says. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Who's coming with clouds? Jesus is coming with clouds. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." So it's going to be a literal return of Jesus himself, a visible return. Every eye will see him. There are those who try to make you think Jesus is going to slip in here sometime in the middle of the night and just take his bride away, and the world's not going to know a thing about it until it's already happened. That's not what the Bible says. When he comes in the clouds of glory, every eye will see him. There won't be a one who won't see him. And I promise you this, those who are lost without God, those who have never accepted Jesus Christ, when they see him, they're going to wish they were saved. It'll be a very visible return. Those who pierced him will weep and mourn for the sin they committed. Well, it's going to be a literal return, a visible return. But his return is also going to be a bodily return. The angels told the disciples on the very mountainside, they said, this same Jesus who you see going up into heaven will one day come again in like manner. How did they see him go back into heaven? They saw him literally go back. They saw him visibly go back. And they saw him bodily go back into heaven. Now, when he went to heaven, he had a glorified body. When he comes again, he's going to have a glorified body again. He's coming the same, the angel said, in like manner as you have seen him go. For those things, you can be sure. The promise of his return is a certainty. It's going to be a literal return, a visible return, and a bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad it's that way? But something else about this promise of his return, it's not just a certainty of his return, it's also an uncertainty of the time. Jesus said here in these verses, surely I come quickly. What does that mean? To the scoffers, to the naysayers, to the God rejectors, the God haters, as Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, they said things like this, well, it's been a while now since Jesus went back to heaven. If he said he's coming again, we haven't seen him come. Since the days of our fathers, they've died and gone to heaven. We haven't seen this Jesus coming back. And we don't believe he's coming back again. That crew is still with us. Let me tell you a story quickly. Years ago, before I was called to preach, I worked for Celanese Corporation in Salisbury. Had a man who worked alongside me. His name was Donald Jacobs. Donald was an unbeliever, heavy drinker, God rejecter, God hater. He'd go to and fro, up and down the very department where we worked. He'd be putting his fist up and he'd say, he's coming, mocking the Lord Jesus ever coming again. Numerous times he would do this. And I'd say, Donald, don't say that. Don't act like that. Story short, later on in life, Donald got saved. And he does believe Jesus is going to come now. And he got saved and joined a church and he's serving the Lord today. But there are still scoffers today, just like it was in Peter's day, who do not believe Jesus is ever going to come again. Some say, well, it's been 2,000 plus years since Jesus went back to heaven. We don't believe he's coming back. Well, let me give you a little help here. The Bible says that time with the Lord is all in the present tense. There is no past, present, and future time with God our Father. All time is in the present tense with God. To you and I, there's past time, present time, and future time. But listen, the Bible says, and Peter writes, and he says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years with the Lord is as one day. So if you look at it from God's timing and God's perspective, you could literally say, God, the Lord Jesus, has only been gone a couple days. He may come back the third day. He may come back tomorrow. He may come back while we're sharing this message. Nonetheless, when the fullness of time of God's timing came, Jesus was born of the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary in God's fullness of timing. In like manner, in God's fullness of timing, when it's time for Jesus to come back, I promise you, he will not delay. In the fullness of God's timing, he'll come back, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus says himself, in the hour you think not, the Son of Man is going to come. He may just be gone a couple days, may come back real soon. There's no time limit with God. So you see, he gives us here a promise of his return. There's a certainty of it. He will return literally, visibly, and bodily. But then also, there's an uncertainty of the time he will come back. But we do know it's not if, but when. and only the Father in heaven knows when. The disciples didn't know. The angels don't know. Jesus said himself, only God the Father knows that time. So you know he's coming back. Now, second part of this message, not just the thought about the promise of his return, what should be the response of his bride? What should be the response of the church? What should be the response of every child of God? It should be a prayer for his return, should it not? Our response to his promise should be praying like John wrote here. John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Come Lord Jesus. The last words of mankind on earth, the last words from the church on earth, the last words from every saint of God from our lips should be, even so, come Lord Jesus. That's what we ought to pray about every day. That should be a constant concern of every Christian. Why should that be such a concern? Why should there be a prayer for his return? Why should we be so concerned about his return? A couple of reasons. Number one, we should pray because of our belief in his coming. Even so, I come quickly. Amen. That means so be it. We believe what Jesus said, don't we? Shouldn't it be our will? Shouldn't it be our wish that he would come soon? We belong to him, don't we? We should long to be with him. Amen. Totally, totally, we agree with his promise of return. And we pray for that return because we believe in his coming. But there's a second reason we should be so concerned. We should have a desire for his coming. Even so, John wrote, even so, come Lord Jesus. First question in the Bible was to Adam. God said, Adam, where are you? Now that we're saved, we know where we are, don't we? Shouldn't we long to be with him? We must pray. We must pray, waiting for him, working for him, longing for him. Listen, I want to see Jesus as he is, don't you? I can't see Jesus as he is till he comes. I want to be like Jesus. I can't be like Jesus totally until he comes. I want to be united with Jesus, and we are to a point here, but we can't be united with him like we really want to until he comes. My faith I put in Jesus can't end up in sight down here until he comes. You see? That's why we ought to be praying. We ought to have a desire for his coming. Reasons to pray. Even so, come Lord Jesus. He also promises a crown to those who love his appearing, those who desire to see Jesus coming again. I want that crown, don't you? It's not facetious, it's not being arrogant, it's not being selfish to want to have that crown of those who love his appearing. If you've got a desire for the Lord Jesus to come again, if you can pray along with John and say, even so, come Lord Jesus, I wish you'd come today. I've told you this story before, and I'll share just a bit in peace again. On another time, in another place, in another church, had a beautiful Sunday night service, was preaching on the second coming of the Lord. Started out the church door, and one of my pastors was with us, and our organist. He looked over and he said to her name was Mary, he said, Mary, wouldn't it be just a wonderful night for the Lord to come again? She looked at him and she said, have you lost your mind? He said, well, you might have lost yours, but I've sure found mine. That's what he said. Yes, it'd be a wonderful day. Today would be a wonderful day for we who know him, for the Lord Jesus to come again. I want that crown. And if I love his appearing, I desire him to come again. I pray for him to come again. I can pray with John, even so, come Lord Jesus. You see, our concern in prayer should be because we believe in his coming, because we desire him to come. How then now should we respond to that? What should our behavior be if we believe in his coming and desire his coming? What should our behavior be? Now, we don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to come. But it should create within us, shouldn't it, in the church, in our lives as well, shouldn't it create a watchfulness, a spiritual discipline in my life, so that if Jesus came this moment, if Jesus came tonight, I wouldn't have to be ashamed of Him when He comes, of the life that I have lived, the things maybe we have done or have not done, what we should have done and didn't do. We wouldn't have to be ashamed if we have spiritual discipline in our lives. We ought to be ready at all times for the Lord Jesus to come again. Well, James writes in his epistle, and James says to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Now, take that in a good spiritual tone. Doesn't a bride want to be adorned as beautifully as she can for her groom? Doesn't a bride, her greatest joy should be, shouldn't it, to please her groom? Well, then shouldn't our greatest joy and desire be that we would please our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ? We ought to watch for Him every day we live, work for Him every day we live, and wait for Him with expectancy until He comes. Well, I can't really please Jesus totally like I want to in this life. I've got that old fallen, sinful nature, so do you. But on the other side, when Jesus comes, we get that glorified body, then we'll be able to please Him like He really wants us to please Him. So you see, that should put a great concern on the church to try to win all the people that we can to the Lord, because really, don't you want all folks to be a part of the bride of Christ? I do. I want everybody I know or come into contact with to be a part of the bride of Christ. So then, Revelation closes out these words. The Scriptures now are complete. The end is in sight. And we ought to, church, rejoice every time we meet, because this might be the last time we rejoice and meet down here. He may come before Sunday. We ought to rejoice every time and look up and long for Him and love Him and wait for Him. And every time we gather in church, we ought to look up. Our faces ought to look up, long for His return. Jesus, you see, is the beginning of the Word of God, and Jesus is the ending of the Word of God. Jesus is the end of all things. Jesus is the end for you, and Jesus is the end for me in our lifetime, either when you meet Him. Everybody's going to meet Jesus after they leave this life. We're going to meet Him in one or two ways. As a Christian, as part of the bride of Christ, we would meet Him at the very great white throne judgment as saved individuals. Or those who've never received Jesus Christ will also meet Him at the end of time, after the 1,000 years is over. They'll stand before Him at the great white throne judgment. So it means this to me. I'm either going to meet Him at the end of my life, and you're going to meet Him at the end of your life. Every person's going to meet Him at the end of our lives as either Savior or Judge. You see, now's the time to make Him our end. Everybody we talk to, tell them now's the time. Today's the day. Now's the accepted time to make Jesus our end, to make Jesus our destiny. The old hymn, "It Is Well with My Soul," you can sing that with courage and confidence if you know you've been born again. If you know you can pray confidently, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Shouldn't that be the constant concern for every child of God? Shouldn't that be the constant concern for every church, every saved individual across this earth? And you know, one day, that prayer is going to be answered. Jesus said, "I'm going to come. I'm not going to tell you when. You don't have to worry about when. Just be ready. Just be ready." There'll be two, He says, laboring in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Two will be at home asleep in the bed. One will be taken, One will be left. When Jesus comes, preparation time is over. When Jesus comes, we'll be gone, church. Listen. And the opportunity that God's given us in these days will have been completed. There'll be no more opportunity to win people to Jesus when He takes us away. So the constant prayer for us ought to be, even so, come Lord Jesus, knowing that He's promised us the certainty of His coming and the uncertainty of His time. We know He's coming literally. We know He's coming visibly. We know He's coming bodily. He's coming for His bride. Aren't you glad you're part of the bride? Amen. And Lord, I'm so thankful that You're making up Your bride. You have been for years, Lord, and You're still making up Your bride. I'm so thankful You allowed me the privilege to become a part of the bride of Christ. And Lord Jesus, I'm looking for You to come for us. Every saved individual has to have that desire in their heart to want to be like You, to be with You, to You see You as You are, and to unite with You as we want to be. That ought to be our prayer. And we can pray together as a church or as an individual. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I pray for those, Lord Jesus, tonight that don't have this assurance. They've never received You as Lord and Savior. And they're swiftly moving toward that great white throne judgment when You'll have to say to them, depart from Me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew You. Lord Jesus, it's not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Help those who hear the message. Help those who view us. Help us as we share with others. The good news is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all, and they may accept You and be part of the bride of Christ too. But Lord Jesus, until that time comes, if we live out our lifetime and come to be with You, and You don't come, we know You're still going to come one day. We'll die with the assurance and courage to know that if we go to be with You, You're still going to come for Your bride one day. When the Father says, son, go get your bride, you're going to come. And for this great assurance and this great concern we have in our heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for that concern. Help us to never lose that. Never leave that from our hearts every day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.